A big welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we give you the lowdown on what events and anniversaries are coming up around the world this week. Please subscribe if you're not already and let us know in the comments what you think of the events that we talk about. We've actually been away, as regular viewers may have noticed, but Afshin, at least the world is still in existence, so it's not got quite that bad, but still not great, is it?
Just about. Where did you go away anyway? Because I saw this in the paper. They gave me a clue. What's this about?
I can't even see that.
Maldives hit by something about a ratings agency, Fitch, that have really hit the Maldives.
I didn't see that, but I do see a turkey in the corner there, which I believe might give some kind of hint as to where you went.
Well, yeah, I couldn't go to the Maldives. Anyway, since you've been to the Maldives, which is forging closer links with China, already the ratings agencies are conspiring together to destroy the islands that you were on. Was it beautiful where you went?
It was. Climate change hasn't damaged it. Maldives is the flattest like country in the world. The island is just so incredibly flat, and it may not be there in a few years' time, unfortunately. So it's good to get there whilst you still can.
You were staying in Malé with the people, not these luxury five-star places.
Exactly, of course.
Anyway, this is the week beginning the 2nd of September.
It is. So we better begin. It's a busy week. Now, I've actually got first up for Monday, 2nd of September, 2024, looking like a bad day for Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. There's a general strike again calling for a ceasefire.
We've got to tell people to subscribe. And it's a worse day for the children of Gaza, I'll tell you. Anyway.
If you subscribe, I'm sure we'll be saying that many times throughout the show, which really great for people to hear. But yes, there's a general strike calling for a ceasefire and an agreement with Hamas to release hostages. Now, many people will have woken up to the news on Monday of apparently hundreds of thousands, allegedly, of Israelis protesting after what we heard when more hostages have been killed.
I think it was the Israelis that killed the hostages, even though the mainstream media, so-called legacy media, paywall media, is saying it was Hamas that killed these hostages. American weapons and British weapons and European weapons, weren't they?
Well, to be honest, I don't know that there's any evidence of that yet. I think Hamas has blamed Israel for not agreeing to the ceasefire. It didn't say.
Hamas has taken these prisoners to release the 10,000 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, in Israeli detention. And that's the idea of October the 7th from their strategic perspective. The idea of killing the hostages amidst what's going on is absurd. And time and time again, and we've heard this from hostages who have been released, it is the fear of the British, European Union and American weaponry that is killing these people.
Well, nevertheless, however it happened, what's noteworthy is that all of these people in Israel, citizens of Israel, who are now protesting out on the streets, when these are the people that Netanyahu claims he's trying to protect. So something's clearly not adding up now. So this is quite a significant aggression.
They probably want even more genocide as being debated at the International Court, don't they? That's what polls show. They think Netanyahu should be going harder, don't they? Difficult to tell the press restrictions in the apartheid state of Israel. Or at least Monday, September the 2nd. Yesterday was September the 1st. That was the Sunday. W.H. Auden wrote his famous poem about the beginning of the Second World War. How fascinating that September the 2nd, I think, is when China entered the war. I wrote it somewhere. Israel, the state created out of the European guilt, is still committing genocide on a daily basis. And yet so-called mainstream media is talking about demonstrations, union demonstrations in Israel, Netanyahu, peace negotiations. I don't know about you, Millie, but on my TikTok and all these other feeds, it's just showing dead children.
Yeah, there's so many facets.
Killed children.
To it. Of course, I will actually mention as well what was being bandied about last week is that Lancet report, which you would have seen 186,000 apparently killed in Gaza, although they have corrected it now to say that was a speculative and illustrative figure, and it was a guess of a projection of how many may be indirectly killed in the war. So that there's still a lot of stuff.
Which is about 5 million people in Britain being killed, or 27 million proportionally killed in the United States by all these weapons.
Yeah. But obviously, the sad fact is it is all still ongoing, even as we're back after our break. We'd hoped it would have been cleared up by now, but
there's no reporting in the so-called mainstream media, although I did tragically laugh when the propaganda network CNN was criticized by the Zionists for saying that this hostage who died. Because they said, you should have said Hamas killed him. And so CNN is under attack for being pro-Hamas. Apparently, if you do anything, you're Hamas. But today is Labor Day, by the way, Millie. Do you know about Labor Day?
It is. In the United States, specifically. Labor Day, ironically, a federal holiday, isn't it? So it's not a day of labor, but it is meant to commemorate and acknowledge the labor movement.
Well,
and the working people who have built up the United States, although I say it's a holiday, but I believe around 40% of businesses are still open on Labor Day. So a lot of the population are still going to be working. So some thanks that is for the workers that keep the United States.
You know how it started? You know, Labor Day is an attempt to destroy labor. U.S. President Grover Cleveland decided to make a conciliatory gesture and said, no, no, it can't be May Day, because everyone was saying it should be May Day. But because of the Chicago Haymarket Affair of 1886, May Day was unacceptable. So basically, they made Labor Day for workers to avoid allowing workers to unite behind May Day and the protests of the brutality of U.S. security forces who killed so many people in Chicago earlier, 20 years earlier. But I mean, it mainly means Amazon sales, doesn't it? Other retail are available. Recovery Day for Burning Man. Don't know whether you went there in Nevada over the weekend.
No? We didn't. But we've got a few other things up on Monday.
And the counterculture of billionaires fly in and dance and rave to music and think that they're hippies, think they're left wing. I don't know. Think they're countercultural.
When I'm a billionaire, maybe I can join them. But elsewhere on Monday, there's still a lot going on. French and Ukrainian defense ministers are meeting in Paris on Monday. France's Sebastian Lecornu is hosting Rustem Umerov a day after Russia struck Ukraine's capital. The drones and missiles, according to Ukrainian officials. Sebastian Lecornu. Lecornu? Lecornu.
Who is that?
He's France's, he's a defense minister of France.
It doesn't reflect the recent legislative elections of King Macron.
Okay. Current representative then. And this also comes a few days after France has urged countries not to supply Russia with weapons. So this is really just a standard meeting, isn't it? But we must mention that this week, not sure yet what day it's going to be, possibly not today, but could be any day, the director of the IAEA, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, General Rafael Grossi, is meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky in Kiev. He's going to also be visiting the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant this week. I think he's been worried about the attacks on the plant. Both Ukraine and Russia are accusing each other.
So the IAEA guy, who's highly compromised for his work on Syria, the organization has been seen to be a CIA cadet. He's going to the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant in Russia.
He is, but he's been very much concerned of both sides. Last week, he visited the Kursk nuclear power plant, which was shown to have been damaged by drones, which he saw. But he has said, Grossi said, I remain extremely concerned and reiterate my call for maximum restraint from all sides and for strict observance of the 5 concrete principles established for the protection of the plant.
Why doesn't he say it was a British storm shadow missile, wasn't it, that hit the Kursk nuclear plant? Why is he not calling out the British government?
Well, he specifically says all sides. So he's vague here. So he's very much just like anyone who's going to try and attack these plants, just don't bother.
extraterrestrials, anyone, Guatemalans,
animals,
all sides. What's he talking about? It was the British weaponry that hit the.
Well, there, I think throughout the last couple of years, both sides have accused each other. It's not just one isolated incident. There have been many, and there are repeated.
I think the Russians damaged their own nuclear power plant in Kursk, or damaged their own nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. Surely.
Well, who knows? False flags. You know, we can't know for sure because no one's got the evidence. So we can't make these presumptions. Also on Monday, though, Vietnam National Day. On Monday, which celebrates the Vietnam's declaration of independence from France in 1944, which also happened on the same day the Japanese formally surrendered to the Allies to signal the official end of World War II. That is also on Monday.
They were going to surrender anyway before Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
I know you say that. I mean, that's still very much contested.
Well, I'll tell you what's not just how many the French killed in Vietnam. Before 1945's independence from France, of course, then the United States invaded Vietnam afterwards. You don't want to talk about the German elections and Sarah Wagenknecht. Germany is heading for communism, isn't it? Or socialism or something like that.
Or is it not the far right, as we've been hearing in the media, I thought. So who just knows the truth anymore?
How is the far right? If it's fascist, it should be pro-corporations. I don't think the AfD likes private corporations, does it? I mean, it's very difficult. Thuringia and Saxony results, amazing results for these parties that are against the NATO proxy war on Russia through Ukraine. Differing on Gaza, Germany massively sending weapons to Israel for the genocide. Fascinating to watch, though. But I know you'll be looking into the Azerbaijan legislative election results.
Oh, no, what, for Monday? Tell me.
I think they were on Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know this was a... I thought this was called forecast news.
Yeah, well, it's Monday the 2nd of September, and the results are in, aren't they? No,
okay.
I haven't actually checked the results.
Azerbaijan, what are the results?
Azerbaijan supplying the energy for the genocide in Israel. And so it'd be very interesting to see what Azerbaijan, which is playing a very tricky role at the moment. 1 minute it's pro-Russia. Is it pro-Russia at the moment? 1 minute Armenia is. The next minute Azerbaijan is. New Azerbaijan party. Many opposition parties boycotted the poll, which suggests to me that Azerbaijan is going in the right direction, the same direction as German voters who hate Scholz for what he's done to destroy Western Europe's economic prowess.
Okay, so that's Azerbaijan. We've had 13 minutes on Monday already. Shall we move to Tuesday?
Because you're not interested in the new Congress inaugurated in Mexico or the Hilton Hotel. People have got a massive hangover in Prague today because Ursula von der Leyen was there with Czech President Pavel, Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama, Finnish President Alexander Stubb, Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen, Kosovo, how does Kosovo have a president? Montenegro President, I've got a long list here. They were all there. Some guy from Britain and retired US General John Allen. And Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the oligarch who stole all the money from Russia. They're all hanging out in Prague to talk about the next move to destroy the Russian Federation, which has been the purpose since the coup in Kiev. I don't think it's going well. And also, there were meetings of the recent assassination attempt victim, Robert Fico of Slovakia. He survived. He was meeting in Slovakia with his foreign minister. Lots of reconfigurations going on as the NATO nations arguably see that things are over. And Monday, it is Monday, actually, that the Bled Strategic Forum is on. I'm sure you have that in Slovenia.
Oh, well, tell us more about that then.
No, I think you know about it. It's called Bled because all these leaders want the children of Gaza to bleed and the people of Ukraine. The children of Ukraine to bleed. No, I don't know why it's called Bled. It's at Bled Festival Hall in Bled, Slovenia. And there'll be European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, Antonio Guterres, these NATO proxy puppet marionettes, Slovenian President Natasa Pirc-Musar, Alexei Navalny's widow, Garry Kasparov. Oh, hello, Foreign Minister of China Wang Yi. What is he doing there? And is it safe for him to be there? Don't know.
Okay. Well, a lot going on Monday then. But on that note, let us move to Tuesday. We've got to get through them all. Now, Tuesday is interesting. It's the final planned day of this 3-day campaign we've been hearing about to vaccinate children in Gaza against polio, an affliction famously held by the late US President Franklin D. Roosevelt, who brought the US into the Second World War. Now, I think what's interesting here is, so the World Health Organization has said they're going to vaccinate 90% of the children in Gaza. They're aiming to get 140,000 children over the course of 3 days.
Sugar lump.
What?
It's not vaccinated, it's sugar lump. Have you not had it?
No, I don't think so. Am I at risk? Clearly, the WHO doesn't care about the likes of me, only the children of Gaza.
Anyway, we'd like to say to Google that Millie will be getting it, and we're not anti-vax on this channel. Take your polio sugar lump.
But I do think, though, what's quite interesting here is, firstly, how they're managing to achieve this, over 500,000 Gazan children in 3 days. I think they're going to extend it by an extra day, but still, a very short time. They're managing to sugar lump the majority of these children, but not feed them or help them to safety or ensure they have the right medical treatment for, you know, if they've got limbs blown off, which I'm sure many of them have. It seems to me that polio is perhaps one of the least of their worries, or at least on par with the other issues. So I don't know why they're taking this polio in particular so seriously. Is it because it can spread and they're worried that it can spread to other countries and therefore affect the wider population outside of Gaza? I don't know. What do you think?
I think you've pinpointed exactly what's going on. I think we were all shocked when these CIA cut out aid agencies that actually prolong suffering in the global south and have done for so many years. Why feed the children of Gaza with European, British and United States aid money and then pour weaponry into Israel's hands to kill children that have enough calories to be able to survive? And of course, famously, Israel, which always talks about how they left Gaza and it should be like Dubai. No, they deliberately had a calorie content for the children in Gaza and the people of Gaza to keep them in that siege for so many years after they left in the 2000s. It's a terrible situation, but you wouldn't know it from watching Sky News, BBC, CNN, Fox News. Yeah. Would you? Putin, of course, has been saying a lot about Gaza, mm-hmm. while at the same time not acting. Same with China. He's in
Mongolia. He's
in Mongolia. Now, tell me, just pronounce for me the Mongolian counterpart's name, Millie Pinch.
I didn't even bother writing it down because there was no chance I was going to pronounce that name.
What?
You pronounce it for us.
Ugnagin Kurilsuk. Yeah. The Mongolian president.
Oh, great. Oh, great. There you go. Perfect.
I think there'll be eyes of Mongolia full of minerals, full of organic food, full of, I don't know, Mongolian friend, actually, who got engaged to a German guy, and he had to show his prowess at being able to kill a bear or kill some kind of animal for her parents to allow him to marry into the family. Mongolia.
Okay.
I like that country. China's victory.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, as to why Putin's going here? I mean, obviously, Russia and Mongolia have had strong relations for many years. It's a country that borders Russia and China, landlocked in between the two. He's actually been invited to attend ceremonial events, I think, dedicated to the 85th anniversary of what they call the joint victory of the Soviet and Mongolian armed forces over the Japanese militarists of the Khalkhin Gol River, and they're going to talk about the prospects of future strengthening relationships between the two. I think they're signing a few bilateral documents. But, I mean, Mongolia is not a hugely important country on the world stage. It doesn't seem strategically significant. It's got a population of, what, 3 million people, something like that.
How big is it?
I think it's a big country, isn't it? Well, it's not got many people. But like, why? So why is Putin so interested in Mongolia and keeping up relations? Why does he care? Why make an effort?
Largest country.
Something we don't know.
Held by area. Hmm. It's not that big, unless Wikipedia has got to it.
Well, this is it. So I guess I wonder why it's so perhaps strategically important for Russia to bother with a country like Mongolia.
What?
That's my question.
Is it Mongolia was where Genghis Khan was from, who stormed across Europe as the Mongol hordes that changed the whole of history. So I wouldn't diminish Mongolia. Mongolia could run the world, and it has done too. It defeated everything in its path.
So we're not to undermine Mongolia then. Maybe good things are coming for them, okay?
You know, we invite Mongolian viewers to tell us about Mongolia and why it's arguably one of the most important countries in the world. China's victory over Japan, commemoration-related observances. Of course, the Second World War was not really about Europe, so an alien from outer space might say. It was really a war between China and Japan. That was the Second World War. And so Armed Forces Day in the Republic of China, that must be in Taiwan. But the VJ Day in the People's Republic of China. There is only one China, as Washington says.
Okay. It is worth mentioning, though, as we have, there are a few kind of World War II dates this week. On Tuesday, it is 85 years to the day since Britain and France, I believe, declared war on Germany.
Britain and France weren't involved in World War II, were they? Ah, France supported the Nazis because it was Vichy, and arguably France is supporting them today in Ukraine. Very controversial. And Britain signed a pact with Hitler under Chamberlain, right? So how was Britain?
Yeah, I mean, we have said this many times, and I will repeatedly say it was
Churchill eventually killed loads
of people. It's just not even worth mentioning because it just doesn't matter. But anyway,
Volkswagen CEO Martin Winterkomm, trial in Germany begins. Volkswagen was Hitler's favorite car maker, seems to be doing really well, as does NATO, as does NASA, as does all these different institutions that were filled with former Nazis, arguably, weren't they?
As does the AfD party in Germany now, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Were they using some insignia?
The whole 32.8% of the vote in a small state. Anyway.
They deny they're Nazis, unlike the Azov.
Of course they're not Nazis.
The Azov Battalion don't deny they're Nazis, do they?
Well, they do, but we won't go into that debate. I mean, they've literally had a statement come out saying we are not Nazis, but we won't go in that boring debate again.
Oh, that boring debate.
Okay. What? Tuesday until Friday.
6 million were killed in the Holocaust. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And 30 million Russians who eventually won the war, of course.
Okay. Irrelevant to the point we're talking about. Anyway, Tuesday until Friday, it's actually the annual Russian Eastern Economic Forum whilst Putin is in Mongolia. It's held on the Rusky Island, the purpose of which is to encourage foreign investment in the far east of Russia. It's usually attended by Putin, so maybe he'll go on one of the later days, do you think? But a significant economic forum, isn't it? I don't know how much press it's going to get this year, but
of course, there'll be people. You said I went to Turkey. Turkey just applied to be in BRICS this week officially. Mm. And you say east, far eastern Russia. That's so far around the world, it's kind of Western, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it? It's kind of near Alaska. And Alaska's American. So actually, isn't this economic forum being held closer to the United States than Moscow is to the United States? Who knows? The Sydney Dialogue in Australia. Yeah, I thought this one would interest you.
What is this? This tech forum, isn't it? Tech conference? What is this?
Google co-founder Eric Schmidt, implicated by Julian Assange of WikiLeaks in the attempt to destroy Bernie Sanders' chances at the election in, when was that, 2020? Something like that?
Hmm.
No, before. and destroyed that to allow Trump in effect. Eric Schmidt, even though he's not, he's a co-founder of Google, but he's involved now with the CIA cutouts, with all these elements that are designed to surveil us. Of course, he'd be meeting with New Zealand's Minister of Defense, Judith Collins, who's part of the Five Eyes. What is it? Pine Gap. Five mm-hmm. Eyes for bugging people and for being at the forefront of the war on China. So, if you're going to the Sydney Dialogue on, it finishes on Tuesday, September the 3rd? I don't think Julian Assange will be going there. No. I know he lives in Australia now. I don't think he'll be invited, though. Given that Eric Schmidt is there. Look him up. Eric, S-A-S-C-H-M-I-D-T. We use his systems every day when we use a computer.
Yeah. I see. If you're going, let us know how you found it. But we better move to Wednesday.
You don't care about the strike at Heathrow Airport, one of the busiest airports in the world in London, where journalists like Richard Medhurst and people are being stopped for dissent. Massive strike at Heathrow Airport. If anyone wants to fly into London, don't.
But we don't care about London, do we? The UK? On this show?
What? Let's go to Wednesday. Subscribe.
Let's go to Wednesday. September. Now, on Wednesday until Friday, it's the Forum of China-Africa Cooperation Summit. Kind of sounds like weird English there, doesn't it? But that is the name of this summit/forum hosted in Beijing by Chinese President Xi Jinping. It's the fourth summit of its kind. And I think there's 53 African members of the forum attending. This is coming, though, as the role of the Global South is becoming more influential and China is being considered part of this Global South, and particularly significant as there are growing tensions between China and the US, although there has been growing criticism, actually, of what's called these Africa Plus One summits or Plus One Africa summits, where African nations are kind of being grouped together at the host convenience, they're saying, and they're calling for more.
Who's saying? CIA cutouts like USA. They're being kicked out of the Sahel. Finally, colonialism and imperialism are finally being over. And of course, the NATO press is going, oh, they're just swapping Western imperialism for Chinese imperialism. Well, that's not what the African leaders are saying, are they? It's an amazing time. Okay. I think we should move to the Sahel. Niger, Burkina Faso, all these countries. There's a revolution going on, and they're going to become so successful if NATO-backed ISIS, Daesh, NATO-backed Al-Qaeda don't attempt to destroy those governments. Already there were killings in that region. But it was good to see Nigeria, which is a NATO proxy puppet country, very rich, very corrupt, suddenly making deals with Niger, was it, or Burkina Faso? So all of that being thrown into the mix with China as part of this new world as Western Europe and the United States decline. Although I'm sure the US will then be brought into any future system, albeit without the IMF and World Bank, which have impoverished Africa for decades.
Okay. So you're going to be looking forward to this summit then. I will add as well, the UN Secretary Antonio Guterres is going to be in China for this summit as well, among other people. So we'll look out for that one. Also on Wednesday, the winner of the Millennium Technology Prize is going to be announced in Finland. This is awarded every 2 years. One of the world's largest tech prizes, the winner's going to be presented with an award on, I think, the 30th of October. The previous winner, or incumbent winner, is the computer scientist Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the World Wide Web. Who do you think is going to win this year?
We like him, don't we?
We do.
I love Tim Berners-Lee. In fact, we couldn't be doing this without Tim Berners-Lee. But imagine what his family must say. So you just gave it away for free. You had the World Wide Web and you gave it away for free and allowed everyone to be able to use it for free so that massive, and of course others might say, tech oligarchs like Google could just run roughshod over your invention and destroy everything. Because that's what's happened, isn't it? Who's going to win? You know, it's the same day that Google, Wednesday, September the 4th is the day Larry Page and Sergey Brin, CIA cutout students at Stanford University, founded Google. Maybe they'll get who's running the prize. And it's the same day the Department of Justice is suing Google, the U.S. Department of Justice, over monopolizing digital advertising. This is going out on YouTube, so good luck to Google and YouTube. I'm sure you'll win against the Biden Justice Department. Hooray. Hooray for Google, right? Yeah.
I thought that was happening later in the week, though, Afshin, on Friday, this hearing against Google.
That's another one, I think. There's one on September.
Oh, there's more. Wow, okay.
Yeah, but so it is the day Allende was elected. The day Allende was elected president of Chile in 1970. What a day for reminding us all the power of these CIA cutouts. The CIA obviously ended up helping to kill him, in a way. Oh, you know, part of your Africa summit thing.
Not my Africa summit, but
in
yes.
Beijing. That's why Cyril Ramaphosa will be in China, in South Africa. People, the United States and NATO countries will be watching this very closely, won't they? But I suppose there won't be any coverage in U.S. Oligarch media that South African president is there, maybe. In fact, the U.S. is in South Korea.
Who is? the whole of the U.S.
Who is this? Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Kara Abercrombie will lead the U.S. delegation to Seoul to talk about war on North Korea. I suppose ahead of the November election, the Biden-Harris administration is desperate for some kind of war to paint Harris as a great wartime leader. Why now? Are they trying to trump up some kind of, create some kind of conflict? Cho Chang-Lei, National Defense Policy Leader, South Korea, the Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, Kim Hong-kyung, all of them. They're in Washington, D.C., actually, not in Seoul, for these talks about how to hit North Korea.
Okay. I think we should get to Thursday unless you've got anything else.
You don't care about Tucker Carlson with Russell Brand?
Oh, yeah, he's hosting Russell Brand for some tour he's doing, Tucker Carlson, is that right?
Yeah, Russell Brand has been accused of all sorts of terrible things in British media as his show became more successful. And I have to say that it's the day in 1886 that Geronimo surrendered to the Americans, and he was then, well, the great Native American Apache leader was then sent to fairgrounds as a sort of joke character. Used in parades by Theodore Roosevelt, who you mentioned earlier, and he died in hospital, a prisoner of war.
That was Franklin D. Roosevelt I mentioned, actually.
Oh, I thought you meant a Theodore way before.
Don't mix up your Roosevelt.
Nope, indeed. FDR is kind of better slightly. Subscribe anyway.
Subscribe. Okay, then. Let's move to Thursday. Xi Jinping is going to be making a speech at the China, my China Africa summit. On Thursday, and in the US, quite a lot of court cases or related court cases. The jury is going to be chosen in Hunter Biden's trial over tax offenses. That's Joe Biden's son. We've mentioned it a few times on this show. Opening statements are due to start on the 9th of September.
The Ukrainian businessman, Hunter Biden.
Okay, yeah. But I suppose, though, this trial isn't actually going to matter too much now, or it's certainly not going to be as high profile now, I would have thought. Now Joe Biden is confirmed to not be the next president of the United States.
How did that happen, Millie? Did that happen while we were away?
What?
Maybe that had happened. The coup. There was
it had happened. The coup. Yeah, it had happened. I think Kamala hadn't been sort of confirmed at that point, but she is now. But maybe
Kamala to you, is it?
Yeah, my buddy, my pal.
Genocide Kamala.
Kamala.
Holocaust Harris, I think she's called, isn't she?
Right. Still likely to win the president. What are our predictions at this stage? I think we kind of gave predictions before. What are we thinking at this point? It's quite a tough call now, isn't it? Previously, we were saying definitely Trump, and I think now we're both a bit unsure, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, CIA, FBI, NSA desperate to destroy the Trump campaign, which is now involving Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., all these pro-genocide in Gaza people. But obviously Trump, still the only candidate, the anti-war candidate. Really difficult to see how powerful they can be, given that there was an assassination attempt on Trump recently. And think of how powerful the deep state were to just remove Joe Biden when he himself said, no, I want to run. He was, I think the day before Joe Biden resigned.
Said he wasn't going
to. He said, absolutely, I'm up for this. Anyway, you were in the middle of your court case stuff. Donald Trump in court.
Yeah, Donald. Yeah, so that's Hunter Biden. The jury's being chosen on Thursday, and yeah, another hearing in Donald Trump's election case as well. I think this is to try and skirt around the immunity that he was given by the Supreme Court. So I think a new indictment has been launched.
Oh, he's immune.
Pardon?
I thought he's immune though.
I think he was given broad immunity, wasn't he? So I think my understanding is there's been a new indictment launched to try and reword it or sort of skirt around.
That's the Supreme Court. That's the Supreme Court that said he's immune.
Yeah.
And then this District of Columbia Court on Thursday, September the 5th.
Yeah.
How can they even do that? And it, the Trump people accused that court of being a basic Biden-Harris political trial. How can they do stuff if the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, has already ruled he's immune?
I think his immunity ruling, as I say, was still very vague. So I think they're trying to work around that in some way. I'm sure they won't be successful, I imagine, in that. And then as well, we have on Thursday the court hearing with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who's facing charges in connection with some alleged attempt to affect the Arizona 2020 election by helping to arrange false claims that Trump had won in that state. He denies it, of course, and I think there are 17 other defendants, including Rudy Giuliani is one of them. So that's
your friend. There.
Your friend, more like.
The mayor of New York who helped that city at its darkest hour on September the 11th.
That's true.
There's another court hearing as well.
What's the other one?
Not as political as the ones you mentioned. Google challenging the Italian competition ruling. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know, these tech companies, if I was Google, and I'm not pro-Google, obviously I am pro-Google because they own YouTube, the platform this is going out. If I would just go, you know, Italy, you know, European Union, if you don't like us, we'll just ban you from using Google. It's a bit like Elon Musk's of Starlink fame saying to the Brazilian government, we're going to just run satellites over Brazil and you can use internet freely using our systems. This is the power of oligarchs and tech companies to go over the heads of so-called democratic regimes, I would say. You know, I was more interested. I don't know whether you finished with your quotes.
Oh, yes. Go on.
It is the anniversary of the My Lai massacre exposed by Seymour Hersh, our good friend, when 109 Vietnamese civilians 55 years ago were slaughtered by the United States military. It was covered up, of course. But on September the 5th, the Sofex Jordan exhibition closes up in Aqaba, Jordan. It's kind of related to the My Lai massacre anniversary of 55 years ago because it's a biennial trade fair dealing with the special forces market. You going to go, Millie? Kind of nice exhibition to go and find out about what new gadgets and gizmos you can get for special forces. Special forces are clearly covert forces, very dangerous. What is going on in Jordan, which collaborated with Israel recently and the United States and Britain in its airstrikes on Yemen, obviously collaborated on the airstrikes on Lebanon, on Iraq, on Syria? What's going on in Jordan? If anyone is going to the Aqaba International Exhibition and Conference Center this week, tell us about this special forces market, because I don't have a pass to go and see it.
Yeah. In fact, if any of these forums, conferences, anything we've mentioned on today's show you're going to, do let us know. We'd love to hear how they go. We're never invited to them. So.
No. But please subscribe. And now I know you're going to try and end Thursday, but I've done so much research on something called the Mercury Prize on Thursday.
Oh, tell us. Tell us about the Mercury Prize.
Best album of the year. So I just tried to look at the best album of the year, music industry experts, in other words, corporate executives that censor and are gatekeepers on music, because young people listen to music, so you've got to be careful that musicians don't support Russia in the NATO proxy war against Ukraine, don't support Palestine. So I was looking up, and Barry Can't Swim, do you like that band? You don't, Millie, you're not, you know, you didn't even go to Burning Man earlier on the weekend. Barry Can't Swim.
Is support, that the name of a band? Wow, they're really support, wacky names.
Supports the Azov Battalion, supports Zelensky, supports the proxy war against Russia. Beth Gibbons also supports them. Cat Burns, nothing. I've never seen anything. Charlie XCX. These are all the people up for Best Album of the Year. Charlie XCX says she's very concerned about what's happening in Gaza. So good on her. So is CMAT. So Corin Bailey Ray, nothing about genocide from her. English teacher, nothing. Getz supports Ukraine, the proxy war, where maybe hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have been killed. The Last Dinner Party is saying stuff about Gaza. Naya Archives, nothing. So I don't know. I do know that Ralph Lauren on Thursday night on September the 5th, if you're wearing Ralph Lauren, has got a secret runway show ahead of New York Fashion Week. Ralph Lauren Fragrances in partnership with L'Oreal, warm friend of Israel. They sent a letter to the Arab League saying they paid a $1.4 million fine, issuing an apology. But now they put a massive investment, Ralph Lauren Fragrances, into occupied Palestine. If you're wearing Ralph Lauren, make sure it's vintage. Don't buy new Ralph Lauren, some might say.
Okay, well, that's very good. I think we do differ on this, though, Afshin. I think I don't necessarily believe musicians, actors, artists should feel pressured to.
Absolutely. I wasn't pressuring anyone.
Okay, good.
There were great Nazi musicians. You know, Wagner, for heaven's sake. I know you listen to Wagner every night while you dress up in clothing by fashion designers supporting the Ukrainian.
Oh, right. Boxing. I didn't know you knew what I did in my spare time. So maybe I need to turn the camera off. Right. Anyway, I want to move on to the fact that Thursday is the UN-recognized International Day of Charity on Thursday, which is nice. A day for people to recognize the role of charity in alleviating humanitarian crises and eradicating poverty.
Well, how well people giving to poor people to make poor people feel small?
Well, are you saying charities are bad?
Well, those that give charity, it's in their interests for the people they're giving charity to continue to need charity so they feel better by giving the charity. So said Oscar Wilde. Look at the quote, Oscar Wilde on charity. Quite a quote, the great Irish writer who was persecuted by the British.
So you're against humanitarian aid being delivered to children in Gaza and people in need all over the world? I didn't realize. Okay.
You know, you mean I'm on the side of Israel on UNRWA? Yeah. Is that what you're saying? I think every time I've gone to developing world countries before the rise of the Global South, over a few drinks, the aid chiefs that I would meet would all say secretly they knew that they were perpetuating the misery they were seeking to reduce and solve.
Okay.
But you know, well, go ahead, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, so what you're saying is Charity Day is perhaps not as good as it seems. You won't be giving anything on this day of charity then, I assume.
This is charitable, isn't it? Or are you getting paid
for this? We're not doing this on Charity Day, so maybe we need to give a Thursday edition.
It seems to be charity, unless someone wants to sponsor us. And I don't mind if any of you charities try to sponsor us, as long as you don't tell us what to say, as long as we can criticize the charities while we're being sponsored by them. Absolutely, sponsor this channel. You've noticed Tucker Carlson, I think, is again all week doing these tours. Every few minutes he's going, buy this coffee, buy gold, Judge Napolitano, buy this, buy that. Why don't we ever say buy something on this Forecast News? Subscribe.
Yeah, if you're watching this and you've got a company for us to promote, just tell us. We don't have morals. Afshin's lying. We'll say whatever we have to say.
In fact, we saw the FT headline recently. Thanks to the genocide in Gaza, the profits of after 186,000, perhaps, mostly women and children have been killed. Lockheed Martin results up. General Dynamics, Boeing, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman. If you want to sponsor us, as long as we can say what we want to say, I'm sure Millie will be very happy.
Or not. We'll say whatever you want.
What? No, you're trying to get a job at CNN, really.
Okay. I think let's move on to Friday. Now,
subscribe Friday, the 6th of September, 2024.
Now, again, Google, okay, there's a hearing on Friday in the US Department of Justice against Google. Now, in August, it was ruled that Google broke antitrust laws by creating a monopoly over search engines. And this judge, Amit Mehta, is looking to consider actions or penalties against Google, which shares the majority of the search engine market. And in August, Attorney General Merrick Garland said this victory against Google is an historic win for the American people. No company, no matter how large or influential, is above the law. The Justice Department will continue to vigorously enforce our antitrust laws. I mean, why this attack on Google from the United States of all countries? It's a bit confusing, isn't it?
The way you said that. Why this attack on Google, who own YouTube?
Why Google?
And this is going out. Little
love Google.
Oh, yeah, they're doing so many good things. I wonder whether behind the scenes, given Google is a massive contractor of Merrick Garland at the Attorney General's office and the Pentagon, whether there's some sort of deal underneath all this that's been done, because, you know, Merrick Garland clearly funds Google at the Justice Department. They use Google, presumably, there. Hmm. Maybe we need, you know who would tell us? Roger Waters, whose birthday is on 1943, was born on the 6th of September. Roger Waters, his Wikipedia page and Google links are becoming quite absurd. People are accusing him of all sorts of things. But a great happy birthday from us to the former Pink Floyd, the Pink Floyd founder. And I'm sure you're about to say it, but as the Russian Economic Forum continues in Rusky Island, Vladivostok, regional elections in the dictatorship of Russia. There are elections nonstop in Russia. Regional elections, 13 regions in Russia, start on September 6th.
Yeah, that's 13 regions, 21 direct elections, 4 regional governors. Though some have been postponed, haven't they? In Kursk, for example, which Ukraine currently has control of, there's still contention over how fair and accurate Russian elections are, as is the case with every election, though, as we seem to discover when we talk about them on this show.
Putin isn't popular in Russia.
I don't know. How would I know?
Every single survey done shows that his popularity compared to any leader in Western Europe that is sending in guns and ammunition to try and kill Russians, you can't even compare it. I think even the hardline NATO attempt, people who want to destroy the Russian Federation and break it apart, concede that Putin is incredibly popular, which is why they say, you see, it's because the Russian people, their minds are being controlled. You know, even they have to. Voting ends on September the 8th to that. But while those regional elections go on, Ukraine Ramstein Contact Group, what a Lloyd Austin, the cancer patient who went AWOL, Raytheon director of the Pentagon. Is it Ramstein Air Base, where 54,000 American occupying troops are there in Germany, 6,200 German workers, to meet with the Ukrainian people with the patches?
That's right. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Charles Q. Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Sharing it. That's right. Well, this is interesting, though. I don't know if it's been officially confirmed on Friday. I think Radio Free Europe has said it would be held on Friday, but certainly on one of the days it's going to be held. But, I mean, this is just standard at this point, isn't it? I think
I don't... Radio Free Europe, though, because it's a CIA cutout. Okay. Directly from USAID. It's funded by the American government as a propaganda station for Europe.
All right, then. But this is pretty standard. I don't think there's been a week on this show where we haven't mentioned some Ukrainian international meetings of this kind. So this is very a usual status quo week in that sense. You skipped ahead, actually, because I was going to mention off the back of Google. On Friday, it's the deadline for the company Meta, the company, not the judge Meta, to provide information to the European Commission on measures it's taken to comply with policy involving giving researchers access to data from Facebook and Instagram, and on its plans to update election monitoring. Now, this request was made under the Digital Services Act. So kind of all this stuff going on with these massive tech corporations this week, Google, Facebook, Instagram, kind of a bit of a crackdown, could we say, on how they're handling their services, it seems to be.
I mean, a totalitarian Western Europe is obvious now to anyone around the world. Zuckerberg's letter begging to Jim Jordan in Congress saying, look, the Biden-Harris administration deliberately, covertly tried to get me to censor stuff and everything. Is a shot across the bows, clearly, because he wants Trump to win. Is that what Zuckerberg was doing? And Western Europe is just going to be blocked out. Already, its economic decline is so bad. I mean, the economies of Western Europe are in such trouble. If you just look at the percentage of global GDP, halved. Over the past 10 years, it's just a, you know, Nord Stream pipeline explosion. Western Europe is finished. So I think the tech companies themselves may be thinking, you know, an exit from Western Europe in these regulatory frameworks that are designed to clamp down on freedom of speech. Trump will get in. The rest of the world will start to align and try, hopefully economic growth will follow. And maybe if Trump gets in, the Western European leaders anyway just bow down to their Führer in Washington, because they are just colonies anyway. Emmanuel Macron and Olaf Scholz in Evian.
Their meeting, yeah.
On Friday. So don't drink Evian water, because Emmanuel Macron and Olaf Scholz, the two most unpopular people in Europe, King Macron, who lost heavily and has been refusing to properly put a prime minister reflecting the values of Jean-Luc Mélenchon in, and Olaf Scholz, who clearly is losing badly to Sarah Wagenknecht and the AfD. Well, are they going to be talking in Evian? Maybe they're going to poison the water and drink it. No, I don't know. What are they doing in Evian?
I don't know. But again, one of these standard meetings that we see from week to week, aren't they?
This is September the 6th, and that Ramstein Air Base, I mean, it's a target, isn't it? Russia has said it's a target. That's where all the American troops are. Any more killing of Russian soldiers, and Ramstein Air Base is under attack. G7 parliamentary speakers in Verona in Italy. Lindsay Hoyle, the British House of Commons speaker, who visited Israel with the Israeli ambassador Tzipi Holotvi during the genocidal war on Gaza, I'm reading here. He boasted his father, Doug Hoyle, helped found Labour Friends of Israel. The Labour, the British House of Commons speaker, is a great supporter of what the International Court believe is plausible genocide. But they're all going to be there meeting Giorgio Meloni in Verona to talk about parliamentary speaking. I don't know.
Okay. A lot going on then. As regards to Ramstein, I mean, I think they have meetings regularly often, don't they? Because it's the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. So I don't think it's going to be hugely worrying or significant that they're meeting.
He's got cancer. Isn't it difficult for Raytheon's Lloyd Austin from the Pentagon to keep flying out to Ramstein in a C-30? You know, I mean,
cancer can still do things as well, you know, live like normal people. I'm sure if he wasn't fit to work, he wouldn't be working.
Well, then he should have told the president when he went AWOL. He's a military officer. In fact, what do they do to deserters in the US Army? I thought they used to execute them. Air quality and climate bulletin on Friday, September the 6th. Air pollution kills...
Oh, yeah, there's a report coming out on that, isn't there?
Air pollution, according to WHO, which I'm not sure. It was... You know, it's a great institution. So 7 million are killed every year. 4.2 million from outdoor air pollution, 3.8 million from indoor air pollution. And we're going to get the World Meteorological Organization results on clean air, which will show that, it's not very good. I think it's going to show not very good. And the independent fact-finding mission on Sudan, 8:15 in the morning, 9:15 in the morning in Geneva, will start to insult the UAE, where we're speaking to you from, because there's an attack on the UAE for what it's doing to help the people of Sudan, arguably.
Right. Yeah, that's over the weekend. Well, on that note, then, we should move to Saturday.
You don't care about Tucker Carlson with Tulsi in Colorado or Joe Biden in Michigan, desperately trying to get Muslims to vote for them, or Defense Army Day in Pakistan.
Well, Joe Biden's been on the kind of campaign trail and he's doing all sorts of...
But Michigan, which is obviously not going to vote Democrat because it's overwhelmingly Muslim, the urban areas of Michigan, they won't vote for Genocide Joe or Holocaust Harris, so lots of Michigan leaders say. And Defense Day, Army Day in Pakistan, Imran Khan, anyone heard of him who's complaining of a U.S. coup against him? Does anyone care about Imran Khan? No one seems to care about him. they have nuclear weapons, though.
Okay, Saturday, 7th of September.
Subscribe.
As usual, there's going to be more protests against the war in Gaza. London in particular, there's going to be protests against the war and the arming of Israel. They're going to march to the Israeli embassy in London on Saturday. Saturday has become a regular day, hasn't it? A protest day across the world against the war in Gaza. And it's... Brazilian Independence Day on Saturday, which celebrates the declaration of independence from the United Kingdom of Portugal, Brazil, and the Algarves in 1825. Is Brazil a country you would say is truly independent nowadays? I know you say a lot of countries aren't. Afshin, what's your analysis on Brazil?
Very complicated, isn't it, in Brazil? Not just because, you know, we've talked to Lula, who was overthrown by a U.S.-backed coup, and Dilma, who was overthrown in a U.S.-backed coup and jailed. Brazilian leaders clearly know how powerful the United States is at subverting democracy there. But, I mean, who would agree with Brazil's censorship of Twitter and X, despite the fact Elon Musk is clearly supporting Bolsonaro and the far right in Brazil? A lot of pressure on them in Brazil. But, you know, it's better than it was under the Portuguese reign of terror in Portugal. The demonstrations against British United States EU arming of alleged genocide in Gaza are happening in London. But the French left under Mélenchon, mass protests across France, particularly in Paris, will be on September the 7th, showing how unstable France is. And maybe France is ready for some kind of new revolution. La France Insoumise, the party of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, having mass demonstrations because Macron is refusing to submit to the democratic will of the people.
That's right. And as well, Algeria on Saturday, presidential election. Algeria, which has just joined the BRICS New Development Bank in the past few hours. Another election, again, that's going to be embroiled in controversy and kind of already is.
Will it?
The incumbent president, Abdelmadjid Tebboune, has been there since 2019.
Great support for Palestine and does not like Western policy on Palestine. So watch out for the propaganda against him.
Okay, well, although I think he is scheduled for a re-election, but I think he was elected amid a lot of protests and boycotts, and there's a lot of issues there, as there seems to be. Every time we've mentioned an election on this show, it's never straightforward, is it? It's never without controversy or protests or...
I'm not sure. I mean, the Atlantic Council and NATO cutouts are saying... Oh, Tebboune is very controversial, organizing mass, you know. Clearly, the CIA want to overthrow the government of Algeria. They don't want this popular leader to lead Algeria. They'll do everything to destroy the incumbent president. But I think right now the CIA would have difficulty assassinating President Abdelmadjid Tebboune because the Arab world is so important in its... at least rhetoric in supporting the Palestinians. Algeria, the UN Security Council, every other day talking about the plight of Palestinians, trying to do as much as it could, I suppose, as it can. So, we have to wait and see whether the United States or the European... What was that?
What's that?
I don't know.
Is that an alarm? Is that for you to wake up?
Long time. Yeah, exactly. So basically, we'll have to wait and see whether the CIA or MI6 or the French intelligence services, which historically has slaughtered so many hundreds of thousands of Algerians, do try and kill President Abdelmadjid Tebboune or not. Because there'll be a lot of propaganda in all your newspapers saying, oh, there are massive protests against him and all the rest of it. Those protests are CIA cutout demonstrations like the ones you see in Hong Kong and all the rest of it. Anyway, shouldn't we go to Texas? Much more fun.
What's happening in Texas?
You know.
Quickly before we move to Sunday.
Austin, Texas, the Texas Tribune Festival.
Oh, yeah. Down in
Texas, annual festival. There'll be Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who supports the banning of demonstrations for Gaza. Ro Khanna, who did vote, representative of the House, who did vote against some bombs going to Israel. U.S. National Security Advisor, friend of ours, John Bolton, who supports the immediate bombing of Iran. A voting rights activist called Stacey Abrams, these wishy-washy liberals who don't really put themselves on the line enough, arguably, against the alleged genocide. And Janet Yellen, Joe Biden's pick, famously to be Treasury Secretary, will be speaking at the Texas Tribune Festival. She got $7.2 million in speaking fees last time I saw it from Citibank, Goldman Sachs, Google, Citi, National Bank, UBS, Citadel, LLC, Credit Suisse, and Salesforce. And Nancy Pelosi will be in Texas, Austin, Texas, if you want to go see. She's backed by Lockheed Martin, Google, Boeing, Honeywell, HRC, Meta, Goldman Sachs, BAE Systems.
Okay, well, let us know if you're going to that and how it goes. We'd love to hear. Again, we're not invited. Sunday, we better quickly
happening in Greece. You don't care. Victory Day in Mozambique, obviously, commemorating and celebrating the Frelimo signing the Lusaka Accord. Very rich country, Mozambique, but the CIA and apartheid South Africa tried to destroy Frelimo, but it's. It's Victory Day on September the 7th to commemorate that before RENAMO, funded by the CIA, tried to destroy it. And I'm surprised you're not talking about the HRC gala dinner. You don't like them. In Washington on Saturday the 7th, the annual Human Rights Campaign dinner supporting the Biden-Harris Gaza genocide. It's funded by Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Pfizer, and Merck. Don't believe a thing the HRC do or tell you. About they're called Human Rights Committee. They're not. They don't support human rights.
Sorry, funded by Google whilst Google is in like several court cases this week by maybe, the United States.
Maybe
that makes sense.
For the human rights of Google, Boxer Rebellion in China anniversary. I know you're dying to go to Sunday. Subscribe. You don't care about.
Okay. Finally, then, Sunday, 8th of September, 2024. Now, I've got to mention people, I'm sure, all around the world are going to be commemorating 2 years to the day since Queen Elizabeth II died at the age of 86 after 70 years on the throne. A woman who saw, she's a 13 US presidents, I think, met hundreds, if not thousands, of heads of state, 500 heads of state attended her funeral alone.
Who anchored the funeral coverage of Queen Elizabeth II? That's what I keep thinking. Whenever I see Queen Elizabeth second anniversaries, who is the presenter on the British Broadcasting Corporation who anchored the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II?
There were many people anchoring. No, I know you're talking about Hugh presenter. Edwards. And yes, Hugh Edwards is a BBC presenter.
Criminal. Suspected sex criminal at the BBC, the child abuse broadcasting company, infamous for child abuse. He was the guy who anchored the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II, who died on 2 years ago on September the 8th. So if anyone wants to roll back and think of the funeral and what Queen Elizabeth II did and what she was to Britain in the national psyche in Britain, currently funding the genocide in Gaza, think of suspected sex criminals.
Of all the things things to commemorate Queen Elizabeth II and all of the things we should say about her. This is what your mind goes to.
They should redo the funeral. So anyone who wants to memorialize the great Queen Elizabeth II will remember, who arguably took a lot of money off the poor, you got to say. She was always trying to get out of tax. We know all the details of Queen Elizabeth II during austerity. There's a two-child policy in Britain. She had more than two children, didn't she? Did she have Prince Andrew?
There's a two-child policy in Britain.
Yeah, two-child policy in Britain. You can't have more than two children in Britain if you're poor. That's the policy. Right. You know about that. Although she had three. The Queen Elizabeth was allowed to have more than two children, and she had Prince Andrew. What happened to him and Jeffrey Epstein? Anyway.
All right. Well, we'll move on from Queen Elizabeth II then.
It's Watergate.
What?
50 years since Watergate. Gerald Ford signed the pardon of Richard Nixon on September the 8th, 50 years ago. Okay. So if you are President Biden and you're worried about what's going to happen when all the papers are revealed, how you knew about genocide, the mass dismembering of babies' heads on an industrial scale, don't worry, because you'll be pardoned by President Trump. Is that what that means?
Okay.
And Trump shouldn't worry. He'll be pardoned later, as long as he does what the CIA tells him to.
Yeah. All right. Okay. As well, you might like this one on Sunday afternoon. International Literacy Day. I know you love books and reading and all that kind of thing. Is a day.
You don't like books.
I do. I did an English literature degree. I love books. I don't have as many books as you do, though, Afshan. I know you've got quite a lot. It's a day to raise awareness of illiteracy. I think something like 700 million adults around the world are illiterate, so they can't read or write. 2/3 of them are women, as it happens, still in this day and age. A day to promote literacy, which is important, isn't it, Afshan? For people to read the news, read what's going on in the world, understand history, understand geopolitics, geography. So much about the world needs to be understood through reading.
Not to name drop, but I was chatting to Dolly Parton, the great country singer, about this.
The other day.
And clearly, Western European countries, they need to shut down libraries, access to literacy, because if they're going to fully totalitarian, you know, it's one thing to torture Julian Assange, to arrest journalists at Heathrow Airport and ban Rumble in France and whatever. It's another, something is going to get through. The truth is going to get through to Western European politicians about how wrong this war in support of Zelensky is against Russia, how wrong they are to support apartheid Israel. And to really do it properly, the mind control thing, is to stop literacy. So we should expect in the coming months, closure under the guise of austerity, closure of libraries, the closure of all sorts of reading materials, the stopping of education subsidies to schools and universities and colleges in Western Europe as the next phase in totalitarian Western Europe. So some might say. And that's what USAID tries to do, getting textbooks rewritten, history books rewritten in the Global South and elsewhere, using literacy as a weapon to promote Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, BAE Systems, all the great companies that we're not asking you to invest in. This is not investment advice.
No, it's not. However, if any of those companies want to sponsor us, we'll be happy to take that. I'm kidding. I am joking.
Yeah, we would be happy, actually.
We would be happy. I think we better leave it there. Is there anything you really want to say?
Buy gold.
What?
That's what they always say. Buy gold. I don't know if I have anything to have. And here, this is a spectacle cloth. Buy this now and use the code MillieAndAfshan Forecast News, subscribe, and we'll give you 5% off. I don't know, we've got to come up with something.
I have a piece of sellotape.
That's a trademark. Sellotape. Who makes sellotape now?
It's not even branded.
Sellotape is a brand name.
We need to go into stationery. I've got a pair of scissors as well.
British brand, really transparent cellulose-based pressure-sensitive tape. Who makes it? I think, you know what? I'm afraid it's made by a company called Henkel. And it's a German company, like all British companies. Yeah. And Henkel, unfortunately, is associated. It's a multi-billion dollar company. I'm afraid it's associated with some military uses. So, Millie, you've done it again.
I don't care. All I'm saying is go out and buy this sellotape. It's the best thing you'll ever buy and you won't regret it. We better leave it here, though, on that note.
Oh, no. Hugo Henkel, he joined the Nazi party in 1933. And Henkel owned the British company Sellotape now. And he was designated a National Socialist Model Enterprise. Anyway, New York Fashion Week. Got to the end of this week. Don't buy any fashion that clearly supports Nazis.
That's the final message for a virtual showback. Thank you for watching. Come back next week for more sponsorship ideas. Anyway, no, thank you very much for watching and being patient with us as we are now back. After a few weeks off, you can watch us on YouTube, X, Spotify, Apple, God knows where, all of the major podcasting platforms. You can watch us. Leave us a comment. Please subscribe. Let us know what you think of the stories we've discussed today. And we'll see you next week. Bye for now.